for various reasons, one of them the infective quality of the dust of Braj. It is a subject matter which I want to preface with saying that let me say like this. You have heard up till now very practical instructions about techniques, about remembering Krishna, because we have done some Leela Katha, and regarding inner attitudes. What we will do now is we will enter into some high theology which may not be relevant to every one of us. Still, it is very interesting to hear the Gaudiya Vaishnavas discuss from different levels ultimate meanings of their own spiritual practice. So for me, what I will talk about is something I have not achieved. I have heard it and it inspires me, but it is something wonderful. So I'm saying this for the avid note takers. You might be more comfortable to listen to this just, but if you want, you can definitely take notes. I would like to preface what you will hear now by a sentence, by something Prabhupada wrote about said about Srimati Radharani, which I request you to keep in mind as we go through this. We don't keep Krishna alone. No. We keep Radha Krishna. First you have to worship Radha Rani. In Vrindavan you will see that all the devotees greet one another by saying Jai Radhe, because they know that Radha Rani is the original pleasure potency. She is always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, she becomes so pleased. Oh, here is a devotee of Krishna. She immediately recommends that person. Krishna, here is a devotee. He's better than me. This is Radharani. I may not be a devotee. I may be a most fallen rascal. But if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful. Therefore, we should worship Radharani first. That is our business. Instead of directly offering a flower to Krishna, put it in the hands of Radharani, my mother Radharani, Jagan Mata. Please kindly take this flower and offer it to Krishna. Now, what will Radharani do when she gets such a flower? Radharani says, oh, you have brought a flower. Krishna said, patram pushpang phalang toyam yome bhaktya prajachati. If one offers me with devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. But don't try to offer to Krishna directly. Offer through Radharani. It will be very much appreciated by her. This is our philosophy. To please Krishna through Radharani. And as today is the auspicious day of Radharani's appearance, we should offer Pushpanjali and pray, Radharani, kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna. Krishna is yours. If you want, please say, Radharani,
kindly be merciful
and tell about me to your Krishna.
Krishna is yours.
Krishna is not independent. No. This is the prayer is finished, but thank you for your enthusiasm. Krishna is not independent. Krishna is Radharani's property. So you have to approach Krishna through Radharani. Worship Radharani very nicely and be happy. This is a lecture given on the occasion of Radharani's appearance day in London on the 5th of September 1973. Worship Radharani very nicely, then you will be happy. So, Srimati Radharani is there in the holy name. Up till now, we have mostly focused on Krishna and Krishna's presence in the holy name. Today, we will complete the picture talk a little bit on Radharani. We will talk small things because she is naturally shy and very dear to Krishna. So, we will not expose too much of her. What Prabhupada spoke about is a classical philosophical concept that the access to the Shaktiman is only possible through the Shakti, or the access to the origin of all energies is only possible through the energy. The idea is, you can see the sun through the sunshine. You can feel the fire through the warmth. You can find the musk through its scent. So without the Shakti, it's not possible to access the Shaktiman. It's a very, very deep philosophical concept, but I think with these pictures we can understand. There is in Chaitanya Charitamrita something about Radharani. Srimati Radhika fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Savakanti. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of all the power. The two are non-different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus Radha and Lord Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. Now, it is said that for transcendental pastimes to go on, there needs to be the hero, Krishna, and the heroine, Radha. The basis of all rasa, transcendental mellows, is the hero and the heroine, and Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, are the best. So, for nam rasa to appear, that is, the mellow of the transcendental holy name, there needs to be an understanding of Radha and Krishna in the holy name. And this understanding to understand this subject matter is the basis, the foundation for entering deep into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So if you take the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and I will ask Achana Siddhi to give me her wonderful Maha Mantra from your personal blue map. I have seen it as I saw you leave, yes, because that is very visible. There is a certain configuration of the name Hare and Krishna. And this configuration means a couple of things. Two I will talk about today. Hare Krishna means Radha and Krishna. It can also mean, for others who see things, a name of Krishna, that is Hari. Sometimes I'm asking how many persons are in the Maha Mantra, or how many names are in the Maha Mantra. It's really four. Krishna, one. Rama, second. Hare can mean Radha. Hare can also mean Hari. So four. So according to the devotee's interest in spiritual life and inclination, he will be able to see different meanings in the Hare Krishna Mantra. I want to concentrate now on one, because it's all about Radha in the Hare Krishna Mantra. Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radha, Hey Radhe, Radha Raman, Radha Raman, Rama Rama, Radhe, Radhe. So they appear in a certain configuration. This is called union. Radha Krishna are in one couple. Radha Krishna. This is called separation. There's only Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Where's Radha? Only Krishna Krishna. Then Hari Hari. Radha, again separation. There's only Radha Rani in this line. Here Hari Rama together. Hari Rama together. Radha is missing. Krishna is missing. Union and separation. In the Yugal Mantra, the Yuga Mantra, the mantra which depicts the divine couple. Again, I want to say, because sometimes unnecessarily there is quarrel between different sections of devotees who had in different ways. I'm talking about Radharani in the Hare Krishna Mantra. This is my subject today. Once Prabhupada was asked, and I think it's very important that we focus on this, who is Rama in the Hare Krishna Mantra? One devotee said, he is Lord Balaram. And the other said, no, Rama is Ramachandra. And the two conflicting devotees came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, is Rama in the Hare Krishna Mantra Balaram? Prabhupada said, yes. Then the other said, but isn't he Ramachandra? Prabhupada said, yes. Prabhupada, how can he be both? Prabhupada's answer was so sweet. You figure it out. It means your personal inclination will head you in a certain direction. So on. Good. Now, we were saying that Radharani is there with Krishna either in union or in separation. Now some Gaudiyas have explained that there, Rupa Goswami has explained that there are eight Radhas, no, four Radhas in union. Hare Krishna. And four Radhas in separation. In separation, there is one Utkantita Radha, one who longs for an absent lover. One Kandita Radha, one who is disappointed because her lover is spending time elsewhere. Vipralapta, one who is unhappy because her lover fails to keep his appointment with her. And one Proshita Bhatrika, one whose lover has gone far away to a distant place. Like Srimati Radharani is feeling, when we discussed yesterday how Radha felt when Krishna had gone far away to Mathura. Huh? This is Radharani in the mood of separation. And then there is Radha in union, when she is decorating herself to receive Krishna. When she leaves her house in the night to go to the appointed place, a kunja at the bank of the Yamuna. When she, to give pleasure to Krishna, quarrels with Krishna by calling him sarcastically, "Oh, you are very truthful." Or when she is the one who pleases Krishna with her love. These are Radharani's moods of Radharani in union with Krishna. So, enough detail. Radharani in the Hare Krishna mantra is there either in the mood of being together with Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, or being alone in Krishna Krishna, where there's only Krishna, or Hare Krishna. No, Hare Hare, being with Krishna. So you can see it like this. The eternal pastime of union and separation, union and separation, union and separation goes on and on. Or the river flows to the bank of union, and then the river again flows to the bank of separation, and again it curves and moves on and on and on in eternity. And the basis of transcendental pastimes and the rasa is the hero and the heroine, Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. All of us, to a larger or lesser degree, are involved in insignificant love pastimes. The human need is to either find love or express love, to be loved or to love somebody. When this is not possible, when we feel no love, no affection, no appreciation, we become morose and think of a rope and a tree. When we find love and the possibility to express our love, we feel complete as human beings. And we feel our life is worthwhile. The greatest gift for us human beings is love. And the greatest a shock for us is when our love is taken away, and we are then we suffer from broken hearts and broken voices and broken lives and so on. Now, Gaudiya Vaishnava, we as Vaishnavas have all had our insignificant love stories, our adventures in love, and many of us have seen through our lives that when we try to relish these loving dealings amongst human beings, friend to friend, mother to son, son to father. There is a breakage. It is always doomed to destruction because time and tide waits for no man. We are all separated from the ones we love, and we suffer. There's misunderstanding between those between lovers. There is misunderstanding of the society, which doesn't condone them. So therefore we have become disappointed in love, and we have retracted our steps. We are careful now to not be hurt again. We are fearful to not experience that trauma of broken love ever again. We make sure that it doesn't happen. It would kill us the next time it happens. So my suggestion is enter the great love story. Enter the greater picture. Enter where the understanding of the Adiras, the original relationship, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, as you see it in the Maha Mantra. And as you enter this original, eternal love story, you can forget, you can be satisfied, you can forget the trauma of your material love stories, the insignificant ones, and you can feel pacified and soothed by entering the real, the original, the Adiras. Now, through Kirtan, we can enter this. Chanting the holy name, we can enter this. I think you do know that in Chaitanya Bhakti, we say that what is the rasa dance between Krishna, with Krishna and the gopis in Krishna Leela, is the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya in Shriva Sangam. Yeah? How is this so? Well, at the rasa dance, Krishna expanded himself in unlimited forms and was engaging in rasa with Radharani and the gopis. And he was linked up with them in the dance. Now in the Shriva Sangam, in the Kirtan performance of Lord Chaitanya in Shrivas Thakur place, the Hare Krishna mantra was resounding, and the devotees were dancing in the sounds of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. And again, there was Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radha Radha. Again, there was Vrindavan, and they took part in this original loving ecstasy as they were transported to the spiritual platform. In chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, such a transportation takes also place when we chant free from offenses. Therefore, our acharyas have said the entry to Vrindavan and the entry to the rasa dance, the highest of Krishna's pastimes, is through Shiva Sangam, the place where the loving mantra resonates and was manifested by Radha and Krishna, who appeared in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How to participate in that loving pastimes? This is a very interesting subject matter, and here we get really into high theology, and I can imagine that this tape will be heard by many. I want to greet you now, the internet audience and the tape listening audience. Please fasten your seat belt. You will need to hear very carefully so that you understand everything. Radha is the ultimate worshipper of Krishna. It is she who gives Krishna the greatest amount of pleasure, because Radhika Karena Krishnara Vanchita Purana, Srimati Radharani fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Now, to give him pleasure, she expands into gopis and into the gopis and into the small assistant gopis called the manjaris. They are called, I think, Kaya. Yes, Kaya Vyuha. Kaya means the body, and Vyuha means a multitude. Radharani expands herself into a multitude of bodies to serve her beloved Krishna. Don't we sometimes feel this in a little in our life, when we feel someone is really dear to us and he comes to us in our house? We think, I want to expand. With one expansion, I make the bathroom clean. With the other, I cook apple crumble and cream, whipped cream, of course. And with the other, I wish I could also shop beeswax candles and fragrance and the garden and so on. So Radharani does expand herself, whereas we just think like this, and many of the forms to give Krishna pleasure. Now, we in Gaudiyas, listen to this. We think if we want to give pleasure to Krishna, we will have to become an assistant to this loving service of Srimati Radharani. See, most male-dominant traditions emulate their master's example, Jesus, Mohammed, and so on. They want to follow the example of these great servants of God. The Gaudiyas think also of becoming servants, but their understanding of servants is to emulate worshippers of, or to follow the gopis and to become servants of them, more particular, servants of Srimati Radharani. That is, so to say, the ultimate spiritual adventure in feminine terms. Giving pleasure and not enjoying, but being there to serve the enjoyment. There are many services how this is done. Actually, I should go very technically. Is it interesting for you, or should I not talk about this? I can. Thank you for. So ultimately, the Gaudiyas see themselves as kinkaris, servants of the supreme heroine Radharani, whom they accept as their supreme deity. Now, there are many different types of gopis. Most gopis love Krishna directly. They are called the Krishna Snehadikas. Or they love Radha and Krishna equally. That is, they have the same love for Radha and for Krishna. They are called the Sama Snehadikas. But there is a very special type of gopi whose only focus is Radha, and they are called Radha Snehadika. There are Prana or Nitya Sakis whose love for Radharani stands supreme. They really wish to please Radha because they know that Krishna is satisfied with Radha only, and therefore to please the Godhood, they are wanting to do what is most pleasurable, that is to join Srimati Radharani and their camp. I feel when Prabhupada makes statements like the Gaudiyas, thank you. I was the Gaudiyas say, this is our philosophy, to please Krishna through Radharani, that he indicates that these souls go to Radharani's camp in their service attitude. There are chapters in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya which you can read. They are the concluding chapters where Prabhupada talks in great detail about Manjaris and their particular love, which is really anchored in Srimati Radharani's pleasure. The Manjaris are determined. Krishna is for Radha only, and Radha is for Krishna only. Radha should be helped to meet him in all ways necessary and give him satisfaction. Now I looked up the word Manjari in the dictionary, in Sanskrit dictionary, and there it says it means bud, stamen. The Manjari is young. It says at most 13 years old, and she is in the pre-pubescent age. She's full of innocence and emotional intensity. She's an apprentice to the primary gopi Lalita and Vishakha. She learns from them. Manjaris, the meaning is also stamen. That means that's the part of the flower which is most close to the center. She serves the need of the divine couple in their utmost confidential pastimes. And it is described, the service of the Manjaris is fetching water, serving betel nuts, fanning, combing the hair, braiding the hair, decorating the body, massaging the limbs, and entertaining Radha and Krishna with food and dance. These gopis, Manjari gopis, have many services, like they chant always the glory, Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Sri Radhe, and they dance, and they also create a situation which enhances the hero's attraction for the heroine. They go to Krishna and talk about the glories of Radharani and the beauty. And they do many, many things like this. Now I want to come to the point. The Hare Krishna mantra is an entreaty, a prayer, to again be allowed to engage in the loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Again, we want to serve Radha and Krishna. Forcefully we call, Hare, O Radha, please engage me in Krishna's service. Radharani is both Bhakti Shakti, that is the Shakti, as well as the embodiment of service. Let me make it clear. Radharani is pray to give you the shakti or the service, the ability for service, like we say, Radha, please engage me in the service of Krishna. We understand when you have bhakti in your heart, it's actually coming. This shakti is a bhakti shakti, it said, Srimati Radharani, who is coming into the heart as her expansion, Bhakti Devi. In the Hare Krishna mantra, we pray to Radha, I'm your lost maidservant, please accept me, so that I can give pleasure to Krishna. To both of you, that I can assist you in your service to Krishna. This is how the devotees pray to enter the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It said when Krishna hears Radha's name, he becomes full of bliss. And actually, when it's like this, when Krishna hears just the syllable Ra, he's full of bliss. And when he hears the other syllable Da, then he runs after the chanter. Who said? Krishna thinks all the three worlds are after me. But is there anyone who can make me happy? That person is more qualified. It is my Radharani. So when he hears Ra, the syllable, he already anticipates that's Radharani. And when he hears the full name, Da, Radha, 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 he runs after this person, remembering his Radharani. Krishna has a parrot whom he teaches to speak something. So this parrot sits very happily in his altar room. Every morning, Krishna is sent by Mother Yashoda and also her dear husband, Nanda Maharaj, to worship of the Narayan mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. And Krishna goes into the temple room to chant this mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. It's the mantra which is worshipping him. So that's a little boring after some time. Imagine you sit there, Kanamrita, oh, Om Namo Kanamrita, Om Namo Kanamrita. After some time, you would not feel so happy. So secretly, he tells the parrot, why don't you recite Radha, Radha, Radha? I'm sitting here pretending to chant this mantra, but I like to hear the other one. So the parrot chants Radha, Radha, Radha. Meanwhile, Yashoda inspects the temple room to see if her restless boy is really chanting Om Namo Narayanaya. It's good for him, good for his character and everything else. So she comes and she peeks through the door, and there he says, Krishna, it's a blanket over his head for better concentration, you know. All the other sense objects are apparently blocked out, and he's very concentrated. But what she doesn't know is that in the corner is Krishna's parrot going Radha, 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 and Krishna is all blissful. Om Namo Narayana. Unattentive chanting by Krishna. Oh my greedy tongue, don't you know that the name of Radha is like a fresh new ambrosia? And the name of Krishna like a wonderful sweet and thickened milk? Add the camphor scent of your attachment and mix them together. Then drink, drink eternally to your heart's content. So here's something, Radha, in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I must tell you very honestly, when I talk about these things, I talk quickly. My eyes go on the floor. I feel inner trepidation because I somehow feel that when we discuss these things, that someone will not like it, and that gives my heart great pain. But at the same time, I so deeply feel that we need to talk also sometimes for a short minute about these exalted spiritual subjects to know that there is so much of a deep scope. We will only briefly look into this, only hear about it once, and then we will shyly go back to our present level and engage in devotional service and chanting. But just knowing that there are such dimensions of tremendous promise is very good. It also helps that we are confident that our desire for love is so much more fulfilled when we end the eternal, the real love story, the real loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna in some ways, and if it is only through the road of appreciation. So today I have talked about this subject. Please forgive me if it does not suit your tastes. But, it is possible to see also Parushuram in the Mahamantra. He is another Ram. It is well possible. we can all have our taste preferences. Now I think I will take three questions, and then I thought we use this time in a chanting together following the parrot. No, that could mean the dissolution of our japa workshop. Yes, Prema Rupa Avatar. Huh? No? Prem Vilas. Also nice. Yes, Prem Vilas. Yeah. They make tremendous advancement, and Srila Prabhupada, he said, yes, in Vrindavan they say always Radhe Radhe. In North America we don't. Do they make advancement by saying Radhe Radhe? Yes or no? Huh? Like that. Yes, in Vrindavan, the devotees say like this, and they greet themselves like with Jai Radhe. They say also, in Prabhupada says also, they in his talk, he mentioned these Prajapati. He says, in Vrindavan you will see that all the devotees greet one another by saying, Jai Radhe, because they know that Radharani is the original pleasure potency. So there is a statement by Prabhunananda Saraswati Thakur that Krishna is so pleased when someone chants the name of Radhe that he takes away all the offenses from that person. It's the mantra which takes offenses away. Now we don't do this. We don't chant Radharani's name very often and very publicly, and there is a reason. The reason is that we very much respect the confidentiality of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and we do not bring this confidential thing out in the open. It is see, when there are very loving pastimes, then this is private. It takes place in private settings, and no one of the lovers would be pleased if their names are, if the names of the heroine or beloved will be exposed to the public. She will feel shy, and similarly Krishna will feel not very happy about it. This is our Gaudiya stance, which we take, and I think it is a very deep stance and a very, very respectful stance. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur refrained also from hearing very confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Only sometimes it came over his lips. You can read that in this excellently researched book of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada, following his spiritual master, has occasionally spoken about Radharani. But now, the thing is, although this should not be discussed in the public forum, he has discussed amongst the devotees, like when he gave this class for Radhastami. And when there is a responsible audience of devotees, they sometimes want to hear about Radharani and need to hear. But again, it is not to be discussed in public. And it has, I think, it has also a historical reason. See, the subject matter of Radharani's confidential pastimes has been abused in Bengal, so that men and women have tried to imitate this and formed Sahajiya groups. And it was these groups who, from which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur needed to disassociate his line very much, so that the impropriety of both the philosophy and the actual practice would not mix into the pure Gaudiya understanding. So therefore, there's a historical carefulness about these subjects. And when Prabhupada was once asked about this, he would say, the gopis are not boycotted in ISKCON. You know, they should not. The carefulness and which is necessary on one hand should not lead to banning a subject matter. It should be balanced. Rukmini. Yeah. Why Hare Krishna in the mantra? One name of Radha is Hara, and the E is a vocative, it's a form. Therefore, it can also mean hari. Hari, and then the vocative that is in the address, the E, like in Hari Prasad, becomes an A, an E. The I becomes an E. Thank you. Jairaj, you soon must travel everywhere as my English correcting voice or inspirational voice is maybe the best word. No, we need to know this properly. Yeah, well, from the mantra's outlay, it seems to be a yugal mantra. Yuga means a divine couple is there. What is the heart of the divine couple? It is a love, you know. So yes. But see, when we are an international preaching movement, we want to water the devotional moods of everyone. And not everyone might be thinking about this in a correct way. I met different scholars who said, oh, you Gaudiya Vaishnavism, you Gaudiya Vaishnavas are too erotic for me. They had misunderstood this. And I like Buddhism more. This is less erotic, you know. That's how one scholar said. And from where do you have this idea of... and then they said, well, look at your mantra, look at the 10th canto, the Rasa Lila, and so on. But they had not understood that they are not the body, and that these pastimes have nothing to do with material bodies, erotic adventures, and therefore they misconstrued something out of it. No? They could not understand the Adi Rasa as being different from what is in this material world, and therefore they were unfortunately not able to go deeper into this divine thing. So, as a preaching movement, we keep this type of understanding, which is really a center of our of our whole instructions, or the goal of our instruction. We keep it a little from the public eye, and also from some of our devotees who may not appreciate very well. But when we read books like The Nectar of Instruction, which is a very important book, we find the three last verses of only 11 verses dealing with Radha Kund, which is a pastime place between Radha and Krishna. It is there in our tradition, and devotees who are sincerely practicing should be aware of it, because it's, but for the public eye and for the general newcomers to Krishna consciousness, we will not immediately talk about the highest things, because they might not, they might misunderstand it with the material lead, material conception. Yeah, I see Kanamrita, and I think Dayal, please give me a chance. I really want to learn your name, and you are my godbrother. Dulal Chandra. Yeah, correct? So Kanamrita first, and then Dulal Chandra Ji.
We could say that Hari then is also a way to
Yes. They see like this. Yeah. That is the secret of devotion. You know, when Tulsidas read in the book from Valmiki that the Lord appears in this age of Kali in the land of Utkal, which means Orissa, he made a pilgrimage and expected to see Lord Ramachandra. But when he came in the Puri temple, he saw a blackish personality smiling with him and looking with great eyes at him. And he didn't see the greenish hue of his Lord and felt disappointed. Without taking prasad, he left and slept in Malikapuri, a village 6 kilometers away from Puri. Then the Lord's associate, Subhadra said, "Here your devotee has come, and you have promised to give your devotees prasad, but you have not given prasad. Oh, you are not doing justice to your promise. What will you do? He is crying now in Malikapuri, and he has not eaten." So the Lord went with a wonderful plate of prasadam. He took the form of a Brahmin. And he said, "Your Lord Ramachandra sends me with this food. You kindly eat. And tomorrow you have darshan." So Tulsidas ate and ate. It was so wonderful that prasadam energized him so much. So he then went back to to the altar of Lord Jagannath, and he saw Lord Jagannath was all greenish and he had a bow. "Ram, Jai Ram," Tulsi said. "Yes." Paid his obeisances. This is a treasure of bhakti. You know, it is Krishna reveals himself in the way the devotee wishes him. Dulal Chandra. She always has questions, Dulal Chandra.
Well, you mentioned Subhadra, and so that raised the question: when we, there's a prayer to be placed under the protection of the divine energy. So, what's the difference between the divine energy protection from Subhadra and the divine energy protection of Shivaji?
Subhadra, I hear theologically, is yoga maya. And the divine and Srimati Radharani is the personification or embodiment of the Hladini Shakti. So Yoga Maya is affecting the union, and Srimati means bringing together yoga, and Srimati Radharani. Her expansion is Bhakti Devi, who also empowers the devotee with feelings of bhakti. It's a different concept. Krishna, this is all what we hear. And I must tell you, I have this inquisitive mind, but ultimately it's very, very important that we go back to the shelter of our spiritual master, who says, O Radha, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. I think when we are anchoring ourselves safely in this understanding, then our explorations might be justified. But whenever you explore, you have to go home. You explore this, you go home. So for us as disciples, home is always the understanding which we have gotten from our spiritual master. And when we feel that but I think what I have that's confirmed. I feel what I have presented today is in congruence with Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and I've taken it from his books. Dula Chanda, would you like to ask the question or not?
Yes,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Marketplace. Yeah. Of the very highest of esoteric literature, and how a practicing sannyasi should approach
this marketplace. The question is, there is a marketplace of high esoteric literature which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would not advise his disciples and followers to study. So how would you advise devotees to deal with this opportunity to read different literature or this marketplace? I always feel that you need to, as a devotee, you need to see what your spiritual master's view is. With view, I mean not the English, but view, perspective, or what is his teachings exactly, and you need to take this as a foundation of your spiritual life. Foundation, I mean, not just that you now build another building on the foundation, but the foundation and the building of your spiritual life. Krishna has given us our spiritual master and his teachings, that's the arrangement which Krishna has given to us, and it is the best for us. I feel that it is necessary for a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and also for someone who has taken initiation in this line, to make themselves very acquainted with the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. And when one does so, one will be very surprised what Prabhupada has written about, what he has talked about. It is really amazing. It is very complete. There is now this is the basis of understanding. I have one god brother, his name is Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Most probably all of us have heard about him. He was known to have an interest in the subtleties of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. And when he was in New York, he was once asked a similar question. Why, what do you wish to accomplish by talking about these subtle points of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. And he said three goals he had. I remember maybe two. One is he wanted to show how everything is in Srila Prabhupada's books. That was a very important goal. He wanted to see, here, Prabhupada talks about these subject matters. The second is he wanted to fortify the preachers who would go out and make them strong with a good and deep understanding of Srila Prabhupada's books. Now I think I forgot the third answer, but I think in these two answers which I know, there was a third mission which he had. He gives a very good understanding how we can approach the details of our own cultural heritage and our Vaishnava line. It should always be whenever we do this, we should see that it fits into the teachings which we have received from our exalted spiritual master. And it should show, we should see how it illustrates and confirms his statements. Yeah. So, it is this chastity or loyalty is required, but in the and I'm personally very grateful to devotees like Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who have gone out, explored the teachings of our tradition, and then shown how it is not just an empty glorification to say that everything is in Prabhupada's books. Oh yeah, that was the third thing. Actually, no, I said it. Said it already. They have shown how it can really be said that everything is in Prabhupada's books. So after having said this, I want to say all spiritual advancement or all spiritual, your own spiritual quest is always and must always be something where you follow your own inner development, your own interest. If you have a lot of interest for Ramachandra and his pastimes, you should follow that. And if you have a lot of interest in Gaura Leela, you should follow that lane, because it may be this interest which you feel wakes up in your heart, which is given by Krishna. If you have an interest in Vrindavan and that unique bhakti exchange between the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna, then follow that. But whatever you do in your spiritual exploration, you should do it on the basis of the teachings which your spiritual master has given you, and you should always return into his house and there confirm your findings, and then you can accept them. I'm sometimes sad to hear that the Gaudiya Vaishnava world is so much stricken by improper dealings, like one group stealing members from the other group, you know, and so much conflict and so much so that Vaishnavas are not have reason to be fearful to not explore so much, because you know when you go in one direction, there's this one group who says this and the other thing, and we go in the other direction, they say this and that. It's unfortunate, and it's a sign of Kali Yuga that Vaishnavas quarrel. It is Kali's trick who makes this, and therefore one must move very carefully to not get in troubled waters. That's another tip about the marketplace which you asked about. I think I answered this. It's Prabhupada has given a teaching in his books. I'm saying Prabhupada has given a certain, you know, in his books he has explained a certain philosophy. I mean, not a certain philosophy. He has explained the Krishna consciousness, and whatever literature tallies, that's that we can accept. Whatever literature goes beyond his explanations or is not tallying, I think tallying. What? Tallying. That is not good. It's my example. I have understood the question, I think. Yeah. Giriraj Maharaj, yes. Can we give you the microphone? Because this is very interesting discussion. Would it be all right for... Yeah? Then we can request... This is so comfortable, that seat, and so warm also.
This is a very interesting topic, and it's one that I've discussed and considered. And of course, I wasn't here for the question. I was just here for part of the answer. But this is what, let's say it's one angle. It's one angle. And that is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made a strong preaching mission. And what he did had never been done before. And in relation to the preaching mission, he also presented Krishna consciousness and the practices of Krishna consciousness in a somewhat different way from his predecessors. It could be because as times were changing and Kali Yuga was getting worse, people were less qualified. Or it could be because, it could be because of his own realization or the empowerment he received from his superiors. But He really emphasized preaching. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the combined form of Radha and Krishna, and that by serving Lord Chaitanya, being absorbed in Lord Chaitanya, you eventually realize Radha and Krishna. Now, and he did many things that were revolutionary. You know, he just riding in a limousine, and he did so many things for the sake of preaching that were revolutionary. And this, some of the more esoteric practices in the tradition were either, you know, discontinued by him or done, you know, in a very discreet way with just some one or two select disciples. And he was also the one who emphasized shiksha parampara as opposed to diksha parampara. And that itself is related to a very basic point of our philosophy, you know, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, that love of Krishna is eternally established within the heart. And by chanting and hearing about Krishna, that dormant love is awakened. And this idea is slightly different from the idea of the Babaji's, who also, my God, Gauranga.
You are blessed.
I didn't even know this was on. It's Shraddha. Everything depends on Shraddha, but. Excuse me.
That was a very esoteric event.
Am I going too far out here?
The voice of the master came.
Anyway, I don't even know what I did to this. So there are certain esoteric practices even mentioned by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, such as Siddha Pranali and... It's all part of the same presentation. So these esoteric practices like Siddha Pranali and the Ekadasa Bhav, these 11 sentiments related to a person's eternal identity and service, like the age, the dress, the service, so many details of the person's identity in Krishna Lila. Those are the Ekadasa Bhav. So those practices were, pretty much discontinued by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was operating on the premise that Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Sudachiti
Shabanadi Sudachiti
Koreyudai. That love of Krishna is eternally established within the heart. It's not to be gained from any other source. And by purifying the heart, by chanting and hearing about Krishna, one's dormant love awakens. So in other words, that is not given to you by the guru, by diksha, or by any technical process. That's already there in you. And by devotional service, it awakens. And then what devotional service? As we've been discussing, kirtan and preaching. And Srila Prabhupada summarized the whole process in a very beautiful way in one talk. He said that to approach Radha and Krishna, you need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. To get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. To get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jagai and Madhai. The whole thing or just that? Yeah. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to approach people like Jagai and Madhai. So we're on the street approaching people like Jagai and Madhai, who are not very different from the way we were a little while ago. And by that process, we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. By his mercy, we get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And by his mercy, we can approach Radha and Krishna. So this was a very revolutionary realization or revelation or approach. And now there's a little conjecture here, but this topic came up in the philosophical subcommittee of the GBC with Ravindra Prabhu as the chairman. And what he imagined, and from other things I've heard, it all makes sense, was that after that because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so revolutionary, and we hear the stories of how there were threats on his life, and how when he went to Vrindavan, the storekeepers closed their shops, and the temples closed their doors. You know, it's like, it was really revolutionary, and people reacted. So what Ravindra Swarup Prabhu imagined was that all along his disciples were being told that your Guru Maharaj is off. Your Guru Maharaj is off. He's not following parampara. And the Babaji's, everyone, they all trace their authority to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis. Even this idea that you get your rasa from the Guru, you get your swarup from the Guru, they trace it to Jiva Goswami. But they have their own interpretation. So you can't really argue that we're following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or we're following Rupan Sanatan or the six Goswamis, because they say we are, but we're following the right way. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example which can be used to explain the difference between sadhana siddha and kripa siddha, but it can also be used to explain the different ideas of how you can realize who you are. And the example elaborated a bit in to a story. A Brahmin is traveling, and night comes. He's hungry, so he stops at the home of another Brahmin. So the other Brahmin says, because some Brahmins, you know, they're very strict. They only, at least previously, they would only cook for themselves. They wouldn't even let their wives cook for them. They'd only eat what they cooked with their own hand. That should not be used by wives who want to avoid their duty of cooking for their husband. So he says, you know, if you like, I will give you all the ingredients and you can go in the kitchen and cook. Or, I myself was just about to make an offering to my deities. If you want, I will give you the meal that I've prepared. So, in, you know, again, from one point of view, you could say that the cooking the meal is like sadhana siddha, and having the meal given to you is kripa siddha. But it's also been used in the other sense, that the ekadasa bhavs, like, okay, this is your name, this is your age, this is your dress, this is your service, and then you sort of put it all together and try to come up with your identity. The other way is it's just revealed to you, you know. And from things that Srila Prabhupada has said when asked about this question, you know, the basic idea is that when you awaken, you know who you are, you know, and that comes at the stage of bhava bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada said, it's just like when you're asleep, you dream you're so-and-so, you're doing such-and-such. It's a whole other reality. But when you wake up, you immediately remember everything about who you are. You know, I'm Sachinandan Swami, Sannyasi in ISKCON, I'm conducting a japa retreat, I have to get dressed, I have to go down to the, you know, and, you know, everything about your, you know, your friends, your service, everything about you, you know, when you wake up, you know who you are and what you have to do. So, on this point of seeing what the previous acharyas have said and relating it to what Srila Prabhupada said, I think it requires quite a bit of maturity, because, like I said, from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati on to Srila Prabhupada, they really preached Sankirtan. And I think I don't know if it was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. I think it was maybe Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple, whom I read Srila Prabhupada said was a Paramahansa. He was approached, maybe it was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that, you know, that your process is defective because you don't have Siddha Pranali. And he replied, we do have Siddha Pranali. Chinadapi sunichena tararapi sihishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya siddhahari. And Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, OBL Kapoor, he once approached Srila Prabhupada and said that you, in Grihastha Ashram, you were a pharmacist or chemist. You knew so many formulas. Do you know the formula for love of God? He said, yes, I do. And Professor Kapoor said, well, what is it? Srila Prabhupada replied, Chinadapi sunichena tararapi sihishnuna amanina manadina kirtaniya siddhahari. So that's our process. Now this question of kirtaniya siddhahari, what does that mean? That's also a big question, because sometimes people criticize us that we don't chant enough, which may be true. I mean, it very well may be true, but kirtaniya siddhahari in the vision of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada didn't just mean this clay mridanga. It also meant the Brihad Mridanga. It meant preaching and doing everything that's involved in preaching. Like when the press came to Boston and we actually started to produce Srila Prabhupada's books. Because up until then, it was the order, everyone must go out all day on Harinam Sankirtan. But Prabhupada was very eager that his books be printed. And to fulfill Prabhupada's desire that the books be printed, the press people didn't go out every day. And I think maybe once a week or maybe an hour a day or different arrangements. But they were like, we had a composing machine. It wasn't like we have computers now. There's a it was big and really expensive. And it was like we had to keep that working 24 hours. So the ladies were taking shifts literally around the clock, 24 hours typing on the composing machine. And Prabhupada said that typing is kirtan. So the conception, so the process is kirtaniya siddhahari, and the conception of kirtan was expanded to include, you know, the brihad kirtan or the brihad mridanga, or in general, whatever is required to spread the glories of Krishna and engage the fallen souls in devotional service. And this is, it's completely sound philosophically. It's completely consistent with our philosophy. But it's a little different approach. It's a different realization. It's a different emphasis. And so I do believe that it requires some maturity to be able to read the books of the previous acharyas. And then, of course, the translations. That's a whole other question because, I mean, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, whom I really trust as a translator, he's looked at some of the books in the market and he finds a lot of mistakes. So one thing is just mistakes because the translators are not so expert. And the other thing is people have their agendas, and they sort of put their purport into the works of the previous acharyas to further their agendas. So it's risky. It's fraught with pitfalls. But again, if someone is really well grounded in Srila Prabhupada's philosophy and mission and has good association, certainly there's a lot of beautiful Krishna katha that we can get. But I remember when Keshava Bharati Das Goswami was very involved in the editing of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he felt so enlivened because there were some differences. Seemed to be some difference in approach between Srila Prabhupada and some other Gaudiya Vaishnavas currently preaching. One issue was meeting and separation. Prabhupada emphasized the mood of separation, service and separation, whereas the other person was saying, there could be a way of reconciling it all. I'm not saying, but on the surface, the other person was saying, meeting is the highest. But in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it really comes out that separation is the highest. Krishna left Vrindavan. Of course, that's also a little intricate because he does return in his bhava expansion, as you mentioned. But he left Vrindavan. He could have gone back and stayed there, but he didn't. Or the Brijabasis could have left Vrindavan and gone to Dwarka and stayed with him there. But they didn't. And the conclusion from Brihad Bhagavatamrita is that because it's natural that you want to do whatever gives you the greatest pleasure. So the fact that they remained in separation from each other means that the pleasure they got in separation was greater even than the pleasure they would have had if they were together in geographical proximity. So that was one issue. Another issue was sort of the mood towards other devotees and other rasas, like one prominent preacher, maybe more, I know of one. It's like very much like, the goal is Gopi Bhav, and, if anything other than Gopi Bhav is less, Whereas in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's appreciation of all the devotees, in both stories, wherever Gop Kumar went, it was like, it was just so wonderful. He wanted to stay there. He didn't want to go anywhere else. Each place was so wonderful. And even in the first part, Kumbh Mela and then Mathura and Jagannath Puri and then all the different devotees and each one, saying, I'm not the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy, he is. And then he points to the next. So, and that was more the way Prabhupada presented devotion. That appreciate all the devotees. We know Radharani is the supreme, but Krishna loves all of his devotees. He loves the cows and calves and cowherd boys. And then the place of Nam Sankirtan. Because this, in these more esoteric practices, there's, it's really Smaranam. The Astakalya Lila Smaranam. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's an elaborate discussion of, you know, the relative virtues of Smaranam versus Kirtan. And, you know, there are very good arguments on both sides, but the final conclusion was that Kirtan is the best. So Keshava Bharti Maharaj felt that, yeah, it's not that, like, you know, well, Prabhupada was a good organizer, so he's very successful in spreading Krishna consciousness, but he didn't really know the philosophy. But he really was presenting our line. And, you know, so I think, anyway, there's a lot in Prabhupada's books. There's a lot in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's so much in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And, but of course, Prabhupada wanted all the books to be translated. But it's, there's a, you know, you, I mean, I really have a lot of faith in Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. I've spoken with him. When he stayed with me in Santa Barbara, he met Professor Barbara Holdridge, like this big professor in religious studies. She was very nice, very favorable to Krishna consciousness. But she was like a child in his presence. You know, even though she had a PhD and published so many books in it, but compared to him, she was just like a tot, you know. He, like, so knew so much, you know, just such deep knowledge and keen intelligence. So, anyway, just adding my bindu to the sindhu.
So everybody, you come back at 7. Are you going to be doing Varshan?
Do we have the? Yeah. Yeah. Then please do find out the. Yes. So.
Yeah.
No, it's very, very nice to hear this. I think it's an important part of our Japa Retreat Level 3, this how we view Srila Prabhupada's, and especially the holy name and what you said about Kirtan, how that is our main upaya, main method, and how it is substantiated by this wonderful literature, high literature. That's the work which Sanatana Goswami wrote in his old age. It means he really put everything, a message in there, and how this is in tune. It's very useful to think about these things, to position ourselves clearly. And thank you very much, Maharaj, and thank all of you very much for your thoughts. And yes, see you at Rukmini. Schedule question. Good.
I just wondered, since we have sharing this morning, can you do the longing tomorrow morning at the 7 o'clock? Because it says on the schedule sharing.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to talk about longing and
What have been nice? Yes, yes. We are longing to hear about longing. Yes, yes. Thank you very much for reminding. We have to look at the whole schedule. What drops tomorrow? But we will take care of you. But Archana City has ordered us to keep the time now, and he has been ordered. So see you at 7:00. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.